Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Luke, we were talking before the show, and apparently some good news. There's a way that the station has come up for listeners to support the station. That's been talked about by people calling in. They'll say, how can we support the station? So, Luke, what do we got? What's the new innovation?
Yeah, so we have a new portal for people to be able to support the station live on our website. You can go to devilradio927.com. At the upper tab, you can select the tab Support the Station. You'll learn a little bit more about how you can become a member of Devil Radio. And then you can sign up to make a donation, either recurring or one time. And then we're going to be rolling out some new merch, stickers, bumper stickers, magnets, things like that. And you will be the first to hear about the opportunities for those. So if you want to go to the website, support the station. And if you're a fan of programming like Matt Flynn Direct, The Earl Ingram Show, The Devil's Advocates, Max Inc. on the weekends, Pizza Box Mike's show Outside the Pizza Box, this is a way for you to be able to support all of the shows and programming on Devil Radio. So we're really excited about it. You can go and check out the website to learn more, but we appreciate everybody's generosity. We know that there's a lot of different political organizations and groups that you can give your money to, and we think that we're one of those important causes as well. So we want to be around for the long haul, and I know our listeners are always looking for ways to support us outside of just listening, calling in, going and supporting our sponsors. And this is kind of just one more way that listeners can lend a little support and help us out.
Yeah, that's outstanding. So in other words, you go on the website and there's a link that says support the station. You click on the link and it gives the way you can support it and that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yep. And then there's also a little handy way if you want to mail in a donation. I know some of our listeners aren't as tech savvy or they don't like to do things like that over the internet. We've got a way for you to be able to get all the information you would need if you wanted to find a different way to donate offline.
Terrific. Okay. Well, that sounds great. And glad we were able to launch it on this show. Really, really glad we can do that. Okay. There's been a development in the Senate race, in the U.S. Senate race to replace Ron Johnson. You know, increasingly, people are of two minds. Some people say that Ron Johnson will run again. Some say he won't. The ones who say he won't sometimes say, well, he promised not to run for more than two terms, and he got elected in 2010 and 2016, so that would be three terms. And what I say to that is, if you're going to listen to any of these people keeping their word, you're mistaken. You really are. If he thought he could get a third term, he would. He's raised money, a fair amount of money, millions of dollars. A lot of Republican donors want him in there. He's a reliable vote for them for a lot of things that are bad for the country, quite frankly. But there's part of it that I think people aren't paying attention to that show that he may not run. And he's been saying disparaging things about his own campaign and candidacy recently. For instance, you know, he said that he hasn't accomplished much in the 12 years he's been in there. And he actually said that publicly. Now, for somebody to say, I've been there 12 years in the Senate, it was a long time, and I haven't accomplished much, well, you know, get out of the way. Let somebody in there who will accomplish something. Second thing is he said, I wouldn't run, quote, this is almost a direct quotation, I won't run if I don't think I can win and I'm the best candidate. And frankly, I don't know that I am the best candidate or could win. Now, if you say something like that, that doesn't communicate enthusiasm or confidence. If you did that in a job interview, a lot of people look at you and say, well, we don't want that attitude around here. We don't want that attitude around here. So I think it's possible he won't run, but it's obviously also possible that he could run. He doesn't have to file his papers till well into next spring, I think around June, actually. And maybe a declaration of candidate, that's signatures, maybe a declaration of candidacy before that, but plenty of time. And people are also of mixed minds. Do they want to run against Ron Johnson or not? In other words, some people say, I hope he doesn't drop out. Look at all the crazy bad things he did, saying he doesn't trust the FBI and the CIA, saying that the insurrection where three people died, two trampled and one shot, were insurrectionists, Three cops have now committed suicide as a result of it, 130 injured, an eye poked out, stabbed with a pole. Guy had his head, you've seen the guy screaming, he had his head squeezed, and he's shouting for mercy. Fanone, the one police officer on the ground being kicked to death, said, "I have daughters, I have kids." And Ron Johnson said, "Well, they're a bunch of fellows letting off steam. They were good people." He would have been concerned if it was Black Lives Matter. None of that happened in a Black Lives Matter protest by Black Lives Matter people. So all of that, continuously attacking our democracy, saying that the election was illegitimate, that Trump really won. People are tired of that. That's not leadership. So here's the deal. Some people say, "I wish I could run against Ron Johnson." Other people say, "Well, anytime you have an incumbent with money, that's formidable. And maybe we should have somebody else run if he doesn't, and they would be much more vulnerable." There's a guy named Gallagher out of Green Bay they talk about. And there's a couple of really marginal pieces of work who I don't see how they could win a Republican primary. I'm not going to mention them to throw them a bone. But so I don't necessarily think that it does help us to run against Ron Johnson, even with all his baggage. But you can't control that. And the fact of the matter is, whoever the Republicans nominate is going to lose. We got to flip this seat. We're 50-50. We're defending some tough seats ourselves elsewhere. This is the most vulnerable seat in the country. The second most vulnerable is Pat Toomey, the Republican seat in Pennsylvania. He's not running again. It's a purple state. We got to start flipping some of these seats. Now, I said there was a development in the race. There is a development in the race. One of the candidates, Chris Larson, announced yesterday that he was suspending his campaign and he is not going to pursue it. That is really code for saying he's dropping out. Everybody always says they're suspending their campaign. In the presidential race, remember towards the end when people dropped out, they're always suspending their campaign. Why are they suspending it and not just flat out saying they're dropping out? Keeps their bank account open. They can get some more contributions to pay off debts. They still have to pay debts. And it's a way of winding down your campaign in orderly fashion. Chris Larson said, by the way, I endorse Mandela Barnes, one of the other ones in there. I don't expect that that's going to have a tremendous effect on the race one way or the other. So why did Larson suspend his campaign? One reason, and it's an indicator, is that he had only $20,000 on hand in his bank account. $20,000. He raised a total of around $51,000 in his campaign. Now, we're talking about the U.S. Senate here. It's statewide. Other people have raised many hundreds of thousands. One of them, Alex Lazary, well over $1 million. You can't run a statewide campaign without being on television statewide, without having a staff. They all have to be paid. TV is expensive. You can't do it on $20,000. You can't. I mean, I remember there was a guy named George Pataki, former governor of New York. He ran briefly for president in 2016, the one that Trump won. And then Trump went on in a very, very crooked campaign with Comey knifing Hillary Clinton, and Trump won the general. But in the primary, George Pataki had no money. It was the equivalent of having $20,000 in Wisconsin. It's probably more than that. He used to fly commercial. Most of these guys run an airplane, because they got to go here and there. They got to go five places in one day. They got to go to Utah, New York, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas in one day. You're not going to do that commercial. So Pataki would get in line and get on a plane. If it was delayed, he wouldn't show up and all this. And, you know, the truth is he had no support. So anyway, Larson has, in effect, dropped out, suspended his campaign. Some people suspicion that he's doing it to run for lieutenant governor. Because with Mandela Barnes leaving the lieutenant governorship to run for the Senate, it's open. And it's an open primary. Believe it or not, the governor doesn't get to appoint a new lieutenant governor. Tony Evers has recognized that, said it'll be an open primary. Sarah Godlewski is leaving the treasurership to run for the Senate. There will be a race for treasurer. There's already one announced candidate from West Allis. There is a lieutenant governor candidate, a Republican, announced already. So is Larson going to run for lieutenant governor? He may not. He says he's not. He says that he's just going to run for re-election to the state Senate in Milwaukee. And if that's the case, it was probably smart of him to drop out now, because obviously he wasn't reaching liftoff velocity. And the longer you dangle out there that you're leaving your seat, the more hungry people start picking their teeth with Bowie knives and eyeing the carcass of your seat. And they decide to announce. And once they do, when you decide to drop out and come back in, you'll have five people lined up. Jan Cassius hath the lean and hungry look, and they all look to carve up the carcass. So I think that Larson wisely saw that it was time to bail, and he got out. There was a poll that didn't say who authorized it, but it sounds suspiciously as if Mandela Barnes did, or people backing him for just Milwaukee, not the state, showed him in the lead in Milwaukee. He's from Milwaukee and has the most name recognition. Larson was second. Mandela was up there in the 30s, Larson in the teens, everybody else in the single digits. It's early, it's just Milwaukee, early, and it is a largely a name recognition poll. So stay tuned. There will be statewide polls. It's a little early. You have Alex Lazary, former Bucks, or he is the Bucks vice president on leave, did a great job bringing the Democratic convention here to town, big part of that. Also, obviously, the Bucks are world champs. I'm not saying Alex Lazary did that. Giannis Antetokounmpo did that, and so did the whole team. Then you have Tom Nelson from Outagamie County. You have Sarah Godlewski from Eau Claire, the state treasurer. Peter Pekarsky has an electrical engineering degree from MIT. He would be very tough on things like climate change, arms control, very knowledgeable. You have quite a crew out there and a bunch of other people as well. So stand by, but we have one less candidate, one fewer candidates among the Senate candidates. Chris Larson is no longer running. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.